Welcome to this special episode of Defense Budget 2018. Traditionally, defense budget has been a subject of interest, but this time around, I think healthcare took the shine away from defense, and I haven't seen many people discussing about the allocations towards defense, and which is quite unnatural in the sense that defense is one of the most important allocations that the budget talks about. So, but now I think we, in our endeavor to do focused, segmented analysis of the budget, we have Colonel Rakesh Sharma with us. Colonel Rakesh Sharma is an ex-serviceman, having put in 32 years of service in the infantry division, and is one of the people who got disabled in while carrying out a counter-insurgency strike. I think the importance of the defense budget is understood by a person no better than Colonel Rakesh Sharma, because they have lived through the pain of being a subject of a warlike situation, whether it is insurgency or it is an enemy strike, whichever. So I would welcome Colonel Sharma, Colonel Rakesh Sharma. And before we get into the discussion, I would like to first of all get your view about the overall budget, not just the defense budget, but overall budget.
Before I get into that, I just like to highlight one point. This, most of the people, they do not quite appreciate what is happening. It cannot be looked at in isolation. National interest or national security or the national power of a country is derived from various factors and various aspects. The most predominant aspect of that is the economic ability to sustain the national will. The second most important thing is the stability of the internal decision-making institutions, the executive, the legislature, the judiciary, the bureaucracy, the administration, the military, are all wings of the government. The third most important factor, which I will come to later while I'm listing this out, is the stability of the society. And with examples, I can quote that where societies are unstable, even if you have a strong economy, even if you have a strong military, it gets destabilized very fast. The fourth most important thing is dependence on external resources, critical dependence, oil or for weaponry or for all those things. Then comes the military power, the strength of the defense forces as an institution, their decision-making, their hierarchy. And lastly is the diplomatic prowess, the ability of the country to impose or convey its viewpoint, convert others to its viewpoint. Now, the military might and the diplomacy and the strength of the internal institutions go hand in glove. Mm. But all these three have to be backed by a stable society. Now, that is where the present budget is focusing. The present budget is focusing on the deprived sections of the society who have not got their dues for so many years. It's a shame that today, for want of proper treatment, people are, you know, losing lives. The availability of health care in rural areas is absolutely poor. Similarly, the education. If you have to get your society stable, you need a very strong and vibrant middle class. The middle class will only come when you have good education, when you have job opportunities. A person is looking for a fruitful life. If you don't have that, then that person will be prone to destruction. A classic example that I can give is two countries. One is Egypt and one is Turkey. Both countries, very strong, stable internal systems, very prosperous, lot of money, strong army. But today the societies are crumbling. Why it's crumbling? Because the base of the society, the social structures are crumbling down. This is what we have to understand. In this light, if we really look at our military budget, or as in the general budget, we are the fourth largest military spender in the world after US, China and UK. Now, UK is slipping. They've reached a stage where they are cannibalizing Typhoons to keep their aircraft flying. They're selling their aircraft, auctioning their aircraft carriers on cash and carry basis. So we may get ourselves upgraded to third biggest military spender. But that's no consolation. This was my overall take on the present budget.
Okay. So, but coming back to the allocations that have been done, how do you see what according to you are the highlights of this year's defense?
You see, if you really ask me in absolute terms, it is a standstill defense allocation. The additional allocation that has been done, if you factor in inflation, then it washes out the whatever increment has been given. But to understand the defense budget, we have to understand its components. One component is the revenue expenditure, and the second component is the capital expenditure. Now, the worrying factor is that the revenue expenditure is now almost running away, and that is something that we have to find as a nation a solution to. The revenue expenditure is running away because of the ballooning pension bill. For an average soldier who joins service at the age of 18, he's 95% to 96% of the force, serves only 22 years. That means at the age of 40, between age of 40 and 45, in the prime, with most productive years, when he has gained his experience, he is taken out of the service. Now, as a country, we have to find ways to, because this person lives on for next 40 years. He lives to the age of, today the average age is 68, 69. So he lives for 30 years as a pensioner. He served for 22 years and he lives for 30 years as a pensioner. Slightly, I'll drift away from this to highlight this point, that in Europe, countries, especially if you look at the southern European countries, where the fertility rates have dropped, they're considering to revise the retirement age. Italy was proposing at one time to raise it to 72 years. So that is something that we have to see how we can reduce our pension budget. But that apart, then I come to there is a need to restructure our forces. There already, government is addressing that. The Shikharkar committee report has come in. Certain structural changes are being made. Hopefully, we should see some forward movement on that. Coming to the capital expenditure is on two parts. One part is acquisition of new weapon systems and new weapons. The second part is on creation of, again, it's a part of capital expenditure, but it's a creation of infrastructure and assets like new air bases, new ports, new dockyards, all those kind of. This year, like, we have got almost 99,947 crores as capital expenditure budget. Out of this, almost 80% is prior commitment. That means that this will be pay the contract obligations which have already been executed either in the previous financial year or years earlier. As the deliveries come in, payments will be made. That's the one. Only 3.67% is available for fresh contracts. But then this is not a worrisome figure, because it would only involve paying up to maybe 10 to 15% if any new contracts are negotiated. One aspect on capital expenditure that I would like to highlight here is for people to understand why the defense forces have been saying that last 20 years we have been neglected. For any defense equipment or technology, there is a life cycle. Now, ideally, the mix of the life cycle should be that at least between 20 to 30% of the equipment that you have should be state of art, the latest technology. About 40% or 50% should be the current technology, and about 20 to 30% again should be the equipment that is about to be at the last leg of its service life. So you can then start discarding it as new equipment comes in. Unfortunately, in our case, in last 20 years, we have had no such holistic planning. Fortunately, now certain mechanisms have been put in. We are getting there. To highlight a problem, one aspect of, buying defense equipment is not like going to a showroom and picking up a car. There's a whole process of, technology upgradation, then there's a production lines are set up, the production lines produce, and then as the production of the equipment is, getting outdated or obsolescence is setting in, you need new technology to come in. So you need a parallel production line which is producing the new items. or the latest technology. I highlight this because this thing had been in news for quite some time, really regards to the war wastage rate of ammunition. We have put in processes to expedite this, but even with these expedited measures, it will take us anything up to 4 to 5 years to reach the desired levels of stocking of war wastage ammunition. Just to highlight the problem that are faced. This is how the capital expenditure budget works. Any query?
No, it's fine. I mean, to look at it, prior to budget, what were the things that you expected the defense budget to provide, and how much of it has actually been met, those expectations?
Budgetary support is for the what is being planned within the army. We are in the midst of inducting M777 howitzers. That has been provided for. Rafales are coming in this year, next year, and next financial year. So that will be expenditure spread across 3 years. Similarly, we'll be getting Chinook helicopters, and we'll be getting Apache helicopters. This will be coming in. One place where I'm very uncomfortable is, I shouldn't be saying so, but there is no quality assurance on DRDO. There is no, there's no pressure on DRDO to deliver.
Okay.
It is very well to say that DRDO is doing a wonderful job. They are doing a wonderful job. But unfortunately, the results on ground, except for the high-tech missiles and the missile systems, DRDO has not delivered that. But one good thing that has happened, this was recommended over a period of time with the various interactions with Vicky had, and which the Bharat Shakti also had, was we had proposed that there should be some form of technology incubation by the government. Here, the government has taken a positive step. They have created a technology development fund of 141 crore rupees. This would be given to support the development and prototypes, making prototypes of whatever is developed in India. We never had this kind of a thing. We never had that concept of research. You are using a particular generation of equipment. There was no parallel research to get the next generation of the same equipment in. A classical example, again, I'll give you, is of MiG-21. We have been manufacturing MiG-21 in our country for the last 20-25 years. But yet, we have not had any design bureau in India to upgrade the next generation of MiG-21 aircraft. Tejas came in, but Tejas came in at a very late date as a replacement. But there was no design bureau incorporating the technology and going in for further research.
So now, I mean, I am a non-military person, and when I look at a budget, I think all that money, that 99,947 crores that's being spent on the capital procurement expenses, I feel a little comfortable that perhaps my nation is a little more war-ready than it was before. Now, my question is, do you think the budget really takes us to a greater safety as a nation in a world where the geopolitics is taking a turn every second day? Do you think it makes us more safe?
I would answer this in a different way. Any adversary needs to pause and think of our capabilities. In last 3 years, we have acquired a capability to inflict prohibitive damage. We may not be able to win over an enemy, but we have acquired the capability to inflict prohibitive damage on him if there is any misadventure. And that in itself is a reason why now countries are coming to India. Again, not related directly to the defense budget, but China backed down at Doklam. Why? China knew that it could not push to have a confrontation with India across the entire east to west northern border. So that is why they backed down, because they knew our capability. They knew that if for any point of interest, we have the capability to inflict prohibitive damage on them.
That's really reassuring. And so overall, what would you rate the budget and the defense budget as in a scale of 10? 10 being the highest.
Overall, I think the entire budget I would rate it at 8. Defense budget, I'll reserve my rating because, you see, there is a very factor in defense budget, and that is that which we have to understand. That I'll again quote figures. In 2009, the total defense budget that was allocated, we surrendered 12.77% of it as unspent. That is criminal. In 2014, it was 13%. In 2015, it was 15%. Now, this 2015 was because our draft procurement manual was in the works. Our previous Raksha Mantri, Shri Manohar Parikarji, had worked on it. He brought out a new defense procurement manual. Last year, we have brought it down to 8.6. That's a very welcome move. We have to reduce this unspent amount of budget because that means that actually means that, you know, it, in a way, it is a reduced allocation. If you're not spending any money, that means that you may be allocated 1,000 crores. But if you're spending only 900 crores, it means that your allocation actually de facto is 900 crore. So that is one fact that I wanted to highlight at this stage. Another aspect that I wanted to highlight was that why I am hesitant to grade the military, the budget, defense budget. China has a GDP that is 3 times our, and their defense is 2%. Our defense spending as a percentage of GDP is 1.58%. So we can, arrive at how much in absolute terms, percentage terms and all this is very good for statistics, but in absolute terms, how much money we need to do. So, but most important thing is we need to get our systems in place that spend our money effectively, that we spend our money well. And like we have a saying in the army, that we get the biggest bang for the smallest.
Right, right. So that was actually a very enlightening discussion for me, because most of the things I didn't know that there was such an inordinate gap in the spending. I mean, so much of unspent amounts. But what do you attribute this to? I mean, where did we go wrong? Why was it not utilized despite allocation?
The problem is one is a systemic problem. The procurement systems are so straitjacketed, and they are so fear driven, fear of being painted as a corrupt practice. For all his intentions or whatever, I personally, as an individual, I do not believe in blacklisting a firm that is paid bribes. If any company has paid a bribe, penalize the company to double the amount of bribe. If they paid 5 crores, penalize them 10 crores for the bribe amount, but continue with the order. Why? Because the equipment has been tested, tried and approved for induction. Now, this testing and trial period is very long. It is very exhaustive. If you have to do it from a scratch, it takes you back almost 3 to 4 years. And that is what has unfortunately happened during UPA 1 and 2 tenures. Any one deal, the opponent would say, there's a bribery in this, there's a scandal in this, and Ministry of Defense promptly playing safe would cancel the deal. No, carry out your investigation. If you feel that there has been a bribe, impose a penalty, but get the equipment. You need the equipment today. If you ask me, there's certain equipment which we need as of yesterday. But here on now, what we are seeing now, especially in case of critical equipment where we are going for government to government purchase, that's a very welcome move, because in the short term, it will bridge the gap. And hopefully in long term, we would be able to have our procedures and systems streamlined for faster procurement.
Yeah. So, Cornel, I think we will be keeping a close watch on the developments in this sector, and would be possibly doing a quarterly or a half yearly review of how things have gone since the budget that came up. So, would be looking forward to have further discussions with you, and thank you for having joined us. Thank you very much.
I would just make one last recommendation. I hope this reaches some of the decision makers, that we need to have a targeted allocation. Rather than having a general allocation, we need to have targeted allocation with targeted timelines and targeted technology level induction. If that is what we do, we should be able to bridge the gap between intent and delivery. We have to do something really well. cost.
Great. I think your words will reach the right ears and some action will be initiated on that. Thank you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.